When Steve was a young warthog.
Lovely. Do you like The Lion King?
Nope.
You can't say that.
Yeah.
Everyone likes The Lion King.
Love it.
Everyone loves The Lion King.
I love The Lion King.
Which animal are you in The Lion King?
The Lion King.
You're the Lion King. You're, yes, the actual lions.
I'm all the lions.
You're all of the lions.
Mm-hmm. You'd be the little warthog.
Right. Okay, nice. I'm not surprised you said that.
My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace.
Even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time.
587,000 words.
612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters.
361 chapters.
3 volumes.
2 epilogues.
And a collection of maps. We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
Hello, mate.
Steve, how's it going?
Will, it's going well, thank you. How are you?
Great, wonderful stuff. I'm loving the fact that this is episode 19.
I honestly, the higher the numbers get, the less I can believe it.
The prouder I feel.
We're over halfway now through book one of War and Peace.
We're way over halfway. There's only 7 chapters left.
There's probably only 6.5 years to go.
Oh my word. This is bloody huge.
This is amazing.
And you know what makes it even better? We received an unbelievably brilliant email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've had some really good emails so far. We've had a brilliant picture by Hugh who kicked it all off. We've had Lucia's fantastic hand rendition.
And now we have received a wonderful, incredible picture by Soraya. She has drawn Count Rostov.
It's absolutely fantastic. It's like she's crawled up our noses into our brains.
And made a little nest in our brains and picked our thoughts and put them together in what is just an exceptional picture.
It's a picture of Count Rostov. He is just exactly as you'd imagine. He's got his rotund. He's got his little podgy hands.
Got a little waistcoat.
Oh, it's fantastic. And of course, he's covered head to toe in sauce.
Covered in sauce. And he's also got this lovely little curl of hair on his little funny, cheeky, chappy, tubby head.
The detail is sensational. I highly encourage you to have a look at it.
I insist.
As soon as this episode is over, I would get right on our Instagram at WAPIN7podcast. Or you can go on our website, WAPIN7.com, and have a look at Tolstoy's Hall of Fame, which has all the pictures that have been sent in.
Nice one, Soraya.
Will.
Mm-hmm.
What happened last week?
Mate, last week was a big old chapter.
Mm.
Loads of stuff going on. Big old dinner at the Rostovs.
Mm.
We met potentially the best character so far in the book, the Blunt Dragon. And boy, did she let Pierre have both barrels right in the face in front of everyone, saying he may as well go to war because he's basically a waste of space.
We had this fantastic meal with the turtle burgers. That was great.
Oh.
The Count's House Band, I'm never going to forget that.
The gravy boaters.
And also, on top of that, a bit of intrigue with the love interests going on there.
Little bit of love tickling around. And everyone, as far as we're aware, had their own personal pineapple. And that is a serious dinner party.
It's going to be hard to top a personal pineapple this week, but we can try.
We'll try our best. And on that note, Steve, onwards
to episode 19.
Here we go.
Chapter 19, The Reading.
Right, shut up. I'm going to read this book.
Okay.
Remarked Shinshin.
Ooh, I think Shinshin's got a lot more to give.
It is for the reason, my good sir.
Boston card game.
I know you won't ask.
So Boston, Will, if you recognised that last week, it's because often it's got a different name.
Okay.
It's called Boston de Fontainebleau.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Boston de Fontainebleau.
Or French Boston. That's why.
I was thinking that. Cheers. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking it's an evolutionary link between ombre and solo whist.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Yeah.
I am speaking the truth.
Oh, this Wikipedia page has a small error in it, which I will now correct.
Are you correcting Wikipedia articles during this?
I've taken a small detour just to fix Wikipedia just quickly.
Good Lord. I have 4 sons in the army, but still I don't fret.
Do you think it's a bit presumptive to add our podcast to the list of War and Peace remakes on the official War and Peace page on Wikipedia.
No, it's a crime that it's not on there already.
I don't think I can do that. Right, so...
Mama!
Is that Mimi?
Mama, kill, kill!
That's fine.
You can't kill me.
What James Bond plot is this, mate?
Yeah.
Seeking revenge against MI6 agent James Bond.
Right.
For the death of their agent Dr. No in Jamaica, international criminal organisation Spectre begins training agents to kill him. Any guesses?
Spectre?
No.
A good time to die? Whatever it's called.
That's not right either.
Dr. Bond and the Silly Boys.
I haven't seen that one, actually.
Bond on the Moon, whatever that one is.
Bond on the Moon.
There's one where he's on the moon.
Is there?
Yeah. I think it's Dr. No. I don't care, though. I don't want to have to remember them.
All right, I'll give you one clue before I put you in the naughty bin.
Okay.
As the organisation promised to sell back Lecter to the Russians, Kleb is ordered to recover it and kill Bond. It's all the same stuff. You get the idea.
Oh, is it The Spy Who Loved Me? From Russia with Love.
Yeah! One point, mate.
The young man's a real hussar.
In all of the James Bond films, how many Russian people has James killed?
Okay, this is a good question.
We're on first term basis, me and James.
Yeah. Jim. How many Russians has Jim killed?
Yeah.
Jim Bond.
Jimmy Bond.
The name's Jim. Jimmy. Jiminy Bond.
Jiminy Bond. You
can call me Jim.
Just
though.
Call me Jim.
Or Jimmy. Up to you. 386.
Oh, you went a bit over.
I went high this time. I went high.
Oh, no, he's only killed six.
Oh, that's not even interesting. And look, why even ask? I finished reading.
Why even ask?
Yeah.
The flow was obvious. We started talking about Russia with Love because War and Peace is set in Russia.
Yep.
And then we did some other stuff to do with James Bond. And then we just had the Russian. It ties perfectly. The bow is neat.
The bow is tied. I finished reading.
That was so quick.
Mate, it's an absolute shorty.
Okay, I like a shorty occasionally. It's not necessarily a bad thing.
I'm starting to get the impression that all of the odd chapters, aka my chapters, are shorter than the even ones. But that could just be me. Could just be me. Chapter 19.
Yeah.
We are still at the dinner party.
Oh, I'm actually so pleased about that because this dinner party, I think, has got a lot to give still.
This dinner party ain't over, mate. You are correct. We are at one of the tables.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to assume these tables are very large.
I think they're like as long as a jumbo jet.
So we're at the men's end of the table. I think that's fair. You have boys on one side, girls on the other. Very much like a school disco.
Steps is on in the background.
Yeah.
The house band's doing a cover of One Direction.
People are getting nervous approaching the girl's side.
Yeah, yeah. Disco lights
God,
on all over.
Going over.
Incredible disco lights.
When to become one. So, the dude side of the table, we've got the German colonel.
Okay.
We've got Shin Shin.
Okay.
AKA Pete.
Yeah.
We've got Count Rostov.
Yeah.
Pierre.
Yeah.
And Nick.
Good collection of lads.
Now, the German colonel.
Yeah.
He's described as being a stout, tall, plethoric German.
Whoa.
Now, buddy, what does plethoric mean? Plethoric.
The only thing it makes me think of is the word plethora, which I think means like loads of stuff. So maybe he's got like 10 arms or something.
Look, you can have a point because you are right. It's way more disgusting than you said. This is the definition of plethoric. Excessively full of bodily fluid, particularly blood.
Oh.
So he's like a big sack of blood.
Oh, no. Oh.
Like a big horrible balloon just like wiggling around.
That's truly, truly repulsive.
Tolstoy really gets into calling people fat in this chapter in a variety of different ways.
Yeah.
Almost everyone's fat. So this guy, the German colonel, he's just a big old sack of wobbly blood. So the colonel is telling the lads table that the declaration of war has already appeared in Petersburg.
Is Napoleon declaring war on Russia?
What the colonel explains is that Napoleon wants to establish a peaceful Europe And to do this, he needs to essentially go with war with everyone else.
Oh, I've heard that one before.
The old classic. Promise you, at the end, it will be so lovely.
He's got his plan to attack Mr. Pitt in the UK. And now he's coming east.
He's coming for Russia. He wants everyone to just chill out by killing them.
And it's still for peace's sake that he's attacking and killing everyone.
Listen, lads, at the end of it will be lovely.
Well, I'm glad that we're getting some clarity on who's attacking who. It simplifies things a lot for me if we can just say Napoleon's attacking everyone.
So the colonel's basically saying, it's happening. I've seen the declaration. Shit's about to get lit. And then Shinshin chirps up. And why the deuce are we going to fight Bonaparte?
Yeah, and then he just sort of flips a pog in the air and catches it.
My dudes. Why even bother with that shiz, dude?
That's whack, diddly whack.
For reference, Shinshin is an old man who dresses like a teenager.
He's great.
Now, cue a little war argument between the German colonel and Shinshin.
I don't think you keep saying the German every time. This isn't Fawlty Towers.
No, I'm really glad you picked me up on that, Steve. I was doing that on purpose.
I honestly thought we'd entered into some sort of 1960s comedy caper show.
Taking the piss out of the Germans. Yeah. No, look, we honestly hadn't. This is in the book. This is all Tolstoy, not me. So this is the German colonel speaking.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it how it's written. For the reason that the emperor knows that, he declares in the manifesto that he cannot feel with indifference the danger threatening Russia and that the safety and dignity of the empire as well we see sanity of its alliances.
Okay.
Oh, God, I'm out of breath now. I won't be doing that again for the episode, but just so we're aware, it's made very clear that the German colonel is very German.
He's German.
He is German. Look, Shinshin's not having any of it, by the way. He replies to the colonel in an extremely confusing way. I don't know if you've had a conversation with someone who switches seamlessly between French, Russian and proverbs whilst having a go at you. He drops this proverb. I'd love for you to work out the meaning of it.
Uh-huh.
Jerome, Jerome, do not roam, but turn spindles at home. Over to you, Steve.
I can explain that. No problem. Well, Jerome, he, at the time, in the time, he was a famous person.
Yeah.
He did not roam. No, he didn't roam. He didn't have roaming. And so that, I think that explains everything.
I think, Steve, you've nailed it and you can have another bloody point for that.
That's a point to coming out thick and fast in this episode.
Now, I said I wouldn't do the German accent again. I lied, though, because I'm about to.
Okay.
We must wait until the last drop of our blood.
Okay.
And then he thumps the table.
It's quite apt that we talked about Bond films because actually that could be...
I know, right?
I feel like I've seen that in a Bond film.
Yeah. So the colonel's getting very excited, shouting, saying, we're going to die, we're going to go for it. Whatever happens, we need to do this. We need to fight. It's wartime, baby. Yeah. Let's do it.
You would expect that from a red-blooded to the gills colonel.
Big old sack of war blood.
Just roll him to the front lines.
Shoot him and he explodes, covering everyone.
Disgusting.
Horrible stuff. I don't want a drawing of this sack of blood. That's okay.
Horrible.
The colonel turns to Nick, young old Nick, and goes, what do you think about what I've just said?
Whenever the kids are given a chance to speak, they usually embarrass themselves, so I'm excited to see what he says next.
You're absolutely spot on. Nick just essentially goes, yes, I love war as well. Whee! Yeah, kill him!
Is this the colonel that is going to be Nick's boss when he goes to the Hussars?
Yeah. This guy is the Hussars. And you are right about the kids embarrassing themselves, because Nick feels awkward because he tried to agree with the colonel too much. I agree, Master.
Thank you.
Yes, I agree with your opinion loads.
Thank you, Blood Colonel.
Blood Colonel. Nick comes up with a lovely saying, though, Steve. Get this on a t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Ready? Die or conquer.
It's powerful.
Make a good board game.
It would go great with the other one that we have for the sports brand. Get that on a few t-shirts.
Everything is possible. On the back,
die or conquer.
What do you think Julie thinks of all this war stuff?
Who's Julie again?
Nick's girlfriend.
I can only imagine she doesn't like it, because almost certainly Nick's going to get roped into it, if not grievously injured.
You're going to lose a point because she bloody loves it.
Oh, okay. Well, hang on. Why does she like war so much?
Are you going to make me look at the book?
I'm just curious.
Hang on. Die or conquer. Yeah. I already read that. after the words were uttered, that this remark... Yeah. Here we go. So this is what Julie says. What you said just now was splendid. Said his partner, Julie. Is that what you wanted, mate?
I was sort of hoping for a bit more insight into what she thought and why she thought those things. But at least we know you're not a liar.
Sonia, on the other hand, little Sonia, she hates it. I'm going to give you a direct quote. Sonia trembled all over and blushed to her ears and behind them and down to her neck and shoulders.
So her whole head.
She's basically turned red.
Sonia's the kitten.
Little red kitten.
Never seen a kitten blush though.
I don't like war. Now Pierre, over to him. He loves it. He says war's great as well. The colonel starts shouting, "The young man is a real hussar," and then he thumps the table again.
Ooh.
Keeps hitting that table.
He's had a bit too much wine, perhaps.
He has had too much wine, mate. Something I didn't tell you, though, is that the colonel actually drinks tumblers of wine with dignity.
Okay.
So tumblers. Be careful. Yeah, he drinks tumblers of wine with dignity.
Is a tumbler like one up from a wine glass?
Little ones kids have.
Oh, like with two handles.
Could be that. Or like you're saying a huge glass though.
Yeah, well, I'm saying because he's so liquid and sloshy, maybe he's getting a lot in.
That would explain why he's so full of liquid.
Yeah, exactly.
Because actually that definition, it's not necessarily blood he's full of.
No,
Just be wine.
It could just be wine and they're the same colour.
So the colonel keeps thumping the table.
Uh-huh.
Now, Steve, you know there's someone at this party who ain't going to take kindly to behaviour like that.
It's got to be Dragon Lady.
It's the Blunt Dragon.
The Blunt Dragon.
You know your War and Peace, Steve. Why are you making so much noise over there?
Ooh, you don't want to get in her sights.
No, we saw what she did to Pierre last week.
This is risky territory that the Blood Colonel's on.
It's burn time. So he's banging on the table loads. Blunt Dragon's pissed off and she yells back, "What, do you think the French are here?"
Oh. Okay.
Uh-oh. So they're all just looking, thinking, oh God, what's going to happen now?
Please don't pick me next.
And then Count Rostov just kind of interrupts and goes, "My son is going to war." I've just written here, he's desperate to be involved.
That's a surprise. Usually he likes to keep quiet and just watch people.
The little social pervert that he is, right, mate? And then Dragon Lady says she's got 4 sons in the war and couldn't care less. She's happy about it.
Okay.
She's so evil.
She's very blunt.
I've got another saying for you that the Blunt Dragon uses here about war.
Okay.
I'd be fascinated for your feedback on this one, Steve.
I'd like to give feedback.
So her 4 sons are in the war and she says this, "You may die in your bed or God may spare you in a battle."
Okay. So just like, don't worry about it.
What's the point? Yeah.
I kind of feel like you're a bit less likely to die just in your bed. Like, I don't think you're likely to be run through with a sword in the middle of the night.
Surely it's safer.
Surely, isn't it safer?
It's just identical situations with identical risks.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you go to bed in your bed or you go to bed in the middle of the street.
It's exactly
the same.
And whatever happens in either situation happens.
That's just what happens.
And that's that.
That's how I live my life.
That's how I live my life too. After all that war shouting and whatnot, the ladies go back to chatting to the ladies and the lads go back to chatting to the lads.
Okay, so there's a brief moment where they talk to each other and then it's just right back to the walls of the disco.
Back to your genders, please.
Put the music back on.
When to become one.
Disco lights winding up.
Now, Steve, the end bit, I'll be honest, it's just a bit silly what happens now.
Can I guess?
Yeah, go on.
At the end, do we go back to the random German bloke who's like trying to memorize every single thing that's going on?
Got his eyes shut.
He secretly wants wine.
He's walking around the back of the room, touching everything.
Putting every single object in his mouth so he can remember the mouthfeel.
Oi, mate, why you got your eyes shut? I must remember the taste of the chair.
Of it all. I do not want wine.
It's a bit of a silly bit. Natasha, Sonia, and fat little Petya.
Is that a quote?
Yeah.
That's harsh.
It's so harsh. Petya's Natasha's brother. You know, in one of the episodes there was that kid who didn't have a name, who was red, and we said he might be behind you all the time.
Oh, this is the guy that's being mind controlled by Mimi the psychic doll.
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly.
The three of them are being silly, and fat little Petya is daring Natasha to do something crazy.
Okay.
And here's a clue, Steve. You won't ask. I know you won't ask. Go on, have a guess.
If I can guess just based on what I know about pranking in the world of War and Peace, I can only assume she's going to break into the zoo, strap a fireman to a gorilla and push them both in the sea.
You'd have been hard pushed to get how lame this one is.
Okay.
Natasha stands up. Everyone goes silent and she shouts, "Mama!" Everyone's quiet. The Countess, her mum, is shocked.
No doubt.
And then Natasha says, "This is so ridiculous. Mama, what sweets are we going to have?" And then the Countess starts to giggle. The dragon looks bloody livid. The dragon shakes her finger. And at this point, I mean, you haven't laughed at the incredible joke, Steve, but Sonia and the fat little Petya, they're cracking up. Oh, mate, it's absolutely bonkers. She did it.
Oh, that's a good dare.
She asked, "What sweets are we having?" And then the dragon says that they're having ice pudding.
Okay.
But that Natasha's not getting any. And Natasha doesn't back down. "What kind of ice pudding? I don't like ice cream." And then the dragon lady makes a joke and she says, "Carrot ices." That would be a lame ice cream. Oh,
disgusting. It's like having cabbage ice cream.
Yuck. Nobody would like it, Steve.
Oh, no, I don't like garlic ice cream.
No, it can't be that. And then everyone bloody laughs, even the blunt dragon. They all have a crazy, crazy fun laugh. And Steve, for a bonus point,
okay,
you can get this.
All right, I believe in myself.
What flavour ice cream is it?
Okay, I'm assuming it's not carrot.
It's not carrot.
And we've ruled out garlic.
Yep.
And cabbage.
Ruled out. You can get this. You can get this.
Okay, it's got to be turtle.
So close.
Ah, pineapple.
Yes!
Pineapple ice cream.
They love it. Oh, and everyone's going, yeah!
Cue the music. Woo!
And at that point, you absolutely nailed it. The gravy boaters kick up. There's champagne. There's kisses for the Count and the Countess.
It's wicked.
The footmen rush in and they start moving the chairs.
I'm having a great time.
And on this point, I will read the final line. And in the same order in which they had entered, but with redder faces, the guests returned to the drawing room and to the Count's study. And that, Steve, was chapter 19.
I thought there was going to be a big dance or something, but actually everyone's like, yeah, fantastic. And then they all just go different rooms.
But mate, wasn't it amazing? Natasha stood up to Blunt Dragon and Blunt Dragon giggled at the end.
Amazing. It just shows what you can do.
Just with the honest purity of a child's prank.
Or the mind control of a psychic doll.
I assume Mimi was under the table.
Mimi had a hand in that.
Holding fat little Petch's hand.
Mate, I enjoyed that. That was a great chapter there.
I mean, it's a great dinner party. Don't thank me, thank Tolstoy.
Thank you, Tolstoy.
Cheers, mate. It's the summary.
Okay, my notes are in order. I'm prepared. Oh, I haven't got a title.
Oh, wow, you need a title, you silly Billy. You silly sausage. Let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
In 3, 2, 1.
Chapter 19, Napoleon versus the world. Blood Colonel's there. He's a big sack of blood. He's German. War's been declared. Is it good? Is it bad? It's scary, that's for sure. There's no pudding for the pranksters because in particular, this pineapple ice cream, obesity's on the rise.
Sorry, I'd say beep, beep, beep there, mate, but I did the timer on the old laptop, did it for 10 minutes.
Oh, it's actually very hard to set a timer for 10 seconds.
It really is. They just don't want you to. Mate, that was absolutely wonderful. Refresh my memory on what it was called.
It's chapter 19, Napoleon versus the world. I hope that is what's going on.
You've gone in. There was a declaration of war delivered to none other than Petersburg.
Yeah.
If that doesn't mean war has been declared.
And all that stuff mixed in with Pete, I can only assume there's going to be a big war.
Also, the title of the book.
That's pushing me towards that.
I think you've made the right call there, mate. Yeah.
I nearly called it No Pudding for the Pranksters, but...
Oh, but you didn't want to.
This book's about war. This book's about peace. It's not about pudding. If it was called Pudding and Peace, I'd have called it No Pudding for the Pranksters, but...
But it's not. It's called War and Pudding. So I called it something else.
So I called it Napoleon versus the World.
What a fun ending to the dinner.
What a fun chapter, yeah.
The band were playing at the end. Pineapple ice cream sounds effing delicious.
I thought the pineapple game couldn't get any better than last week.
I thought they were just stuffing them in their mouths.
I thought it was one pineapple per person, which is an incredible ratio.
Oh, mate, if I had that at my dinner parties, whew.
But to bring in this new element of cold pineapple.
Pineapple ice pudding.
turtle burgers for starters, a whole pineapple, and then pineapple ice cream to finish it up.
A little bit of pineapple ice cream at the end.
Delicious.
Delicious. Would you like another bucket of wine, Colonel?
Lovely stuff. Roll me to the front lines.
I'm surprised they're not all running outside to vomit quite a lot.
Well, they're all running off somewhere.
Where to? The study.
My prediction for chapter 20 is just a very long, slow list of all the different pipes that the Count has in his study, because they were mentioned, but we didn't go deep.
Oh, yeah. And maybe they're catalogued and there are images. Maybe the next kind of 300 to 400 pages is just one page per pipe.
Well, there's only one way to find out.
See you next week.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of War and Peace in just 7 years. We are almost at the big 2-0.
I can't believe it.
It's going to be incredible. And look, we have had some lovely reviews. Our latest one, thank you, Lady Aglaya, for your lovely review of the show on Apple Podcasts.
It's a really great review. And I would suggest if you're thinking, you know, I could leave a review, but what would I say? I would suggest to just go on Apple Podcasts, have a look at what Lady Aglaya says. Just, you know, copy it.
Just fully copy it.
It's
absolutely wicked.
Don't actually exactly copy it because we'll probably get like deleted.
Yeah, obviously don't do that. Duh.
Just go to WAPIN7/rate and there's all the links to all the places, including Apple Podcasts.
We'd love your reviews. Thank you ever so much in advance. And as always, check us out on Instagram at WAPIN7podcast. But enough of all that.
Here's the bit for the super fans.
Yeah. such a disgusting name. The Blood Colonel. It's good. Sorry, it tickled me there too much.
But there's only one way to find out. And you used to, come on.
What?
See you next week.
I said see you next week 100 times. Go on, do it again.
Well, there's only one way to find
out. See you next week. Sorry.
I hate you so much.
Yeah, I know. With Natasha, Sonia, and fat little Petya.
Sorry, mate. You're right. Oh, you didn't really manage to get it out.
Oh, not my words. So harsh. He could be full of old rotten cheese.
We just don't know.
We don't know. Old milk, that would be it. Full of milk.
Yeah, it could be stuck milk.
Oh, he's just full of milk sloshing around.
It could be tears.
Oh, it could be filled with bloody tears.
He could have a blocked eye. He could have a blocked tear duct,
which is just filling him up from the inside.
He's seen so much fighting. He's been crying for years, but hasn't had a way to.
Because the tears are on the inside now.
Yeah, stuck.
Well, he's a big sack of blood and water.
They're stuck and it hurts.
Don't poke him though, because he will explode.
He's a cracking point.
Don't give him any more wine.
Oh, roll him off.
Okay. Table, 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 table chairs.
Nice one, mate.
Do you like that?
Yeah, that's really, really impressive.
I'm talking to you, talking to me.
Right, I'm moving 19.
To the bin.